company, makers of Hellman's Mayonnaise, presents Fred Allen's Salad Bowl Review with Roy Atwell, Portland Hoffa, Zach Smart, the Song Smiths, and Ferdy Grofe's music.
Rise and shine, stand up and take it. Rise and shine, that's what you make it. If Bloom's horn knows, you'd get you as he soon does. Shout high, ho, ho, and do just as the moon does. Rise and shine, don't be a mourner. Things are fine around the corner. No harm in trying it. There's nothing to it. You can do it like the sun. Rise and shine.
Presenting Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And as Robinson Crusoe used to say whenever he heard static, well, if it isn't Friday again. But in those days, Friday didn't bring him the Salad Bowl Review. The papers say that the hunting season has opened, and everyone knows that the well-dressed quail is wearing a feathered frown. But while the hunter is away, his wife home in the kitchen doesn't even have to hunt through her recipe book to find that the well-dressed salad is still wearing Hellman's mayonnaise. So much for hunting unless you've lost something. Tonight, if you'll step into the Salad Bowl, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take you back to the Bedlam Sanatorium. I am still Dr. Allen, and while I'm getting my breath after running a temperature, Ferdy Grofe will show you into the waiting room accompanied by his orchestra.
Bedlam Sanatorium? No, Dr. Allen can't come to the phone. He's busy with a patient. Yes, the man says he only has $2, but Dr. Allen thinks he has some more money hidden in his bed. Yes, he's taking an X-ray. I'll tell him.
Miss Pills?
Yes, Doctor.
Make out a bill for Mr. and Mrs. Totter here.
Are you sure my husband's teeth, Mrs. Cured, Dr. Allen?
His ears are as good as new, Mrs. Totter.
Will I be able to hear now, Doc?
You can hear a pin drop.
Hey.
I said you can hear a pin drop. Stop in at the nearest bowling alley and you'll see.
What did he say, Tulip?
The doctor says you ain't deep no more.
Certainly has been a miraculous cure, Mr. Totter.
I can't read lips, Doc. You'll have to speak up.
He still seems a little deep to me, Doctor.
What say?
I guess there's too much noise in here. Noise!
Yeah, boys will be boys. Pretty good, Doc.
Here's the bill, Doctor.
Thank you. Here you are, Mr. Totter.
What's this here, fan mail?
No, it's your bill.
You owe $50. You're all better.
Can you hear now?
Yes.
Hey?
Yes.
Nod at him.
I'd better. I hope he won't think I'm flirting with him. There you are.
Oh, I get it. That's fine.
How will he know he's better, Doctor?
I can't make this case my life's work, Mrs. Totter. I tell you what you do. You take him home, and I'll send him a letter telling him he's cured.
Well, we really should have something in writing. Come on, hardtack. Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, Mrs. Totter. Goodbye, hardtack.
I'm leaving. It's too quiet in here. Where's the
He certainly responded to treatment.
Yes, I hope he responds to his bill.
There's several patients waiting.
Send them all in together. I'll write out a community prescription.
No, you don't. You're not going to wipe out an entire community. I'll send them in one at a time.
Okay.
Oh, Doctor, I'm Matilda Quake.
Of the California Quake?
Yes.
Shake.
Oh, Doctor, I don't know when my trouble started. I don't know how. I don't know why, but what shall I do?
Here's some medicine for I don't know what. Take it, I don't know how many times, and you'll be cured. I don't know when.
Oh, well, I don't know what I wanted to say.
Was it goodbye?
Oh, yes. Goodbye.
There's a man with a large dog here. The man's intoxicated.
If the dog's sober, I'll talk to him.
Come in, please.
Hi, old sober.
If I were you, Rattlepate, I'd hold my breath until repeal is assured.
No offense, Doc. No offense. Quiet, Matthew.
You want an inventory taken of your stomach?
No, I'm all right. Matthew's sick. He's got a cold.
Well, I'm no veterinary. You better take Matthew to some whippet practitioner.
Oh, he's a bloodhound with a head cold. He can't smell a thing. You gotta fix him up.
Is he working on a case?
Oh, I bet your life he's working on a case. I got a poultry store, and somebody's been stealing my chicken.
Well, how did he lose the scent?
Well, I'll tell you, sir. A guy had a hole in his shoe, and Matthew caught cold through a crack in his footprint.
Well, I might spray his throat for you. Hold him still. I'll use this atomizer.
Open your little mouth, eh, Matthew?
Okay. Yeah, that'll clear out his head.
I have that pill, boy. I'll get it.
There, he's all right.
He'll pick up the trail now. Pick him, Matthew. Pick him.
Look, he's chasing himself.
Pick him, Matthew. Who'll swipe my chicken? Pick him.
Say, he's biting his own leg.
So what do you know about that? Matthew's been stealing my chicken. He's caught himself. Hey, come back here, Matthew.
Miss Pills?
Yes, sir?
Phone the newspapers. Dog bites dog. This is news.
Up in Harlem.
Bedlam Sanatorium. Dr. Allen speaking. Yes, I treat patients over the phone, unless you're a wrong number. You have insomnia? Try taking a drink of rye every half hour. No, it won't put you to sleep, but it will certainly make staying awake a pleasure. Okay.
There's a baby out here with a little girl.
Tell the baby to crawl in. I'll see the little girl later.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Portland. For heaven's sake, what are you doing with that baby?
It belongs to Mrs. Sim, the lady next door.
Oh, I thought perhaps you were going to a masquerade as the stork.
Isn't he cute?
Yes. Does his mother like to have you take him out?
I don't know, but she's always borrowing sugar and things from Mama. So every once in a while, I borrow one of her little babies to get even.
Has Mrs. Din an extensive brood?
Oh, yes. 11 children in the family. They have a blue eagle in the window.
We do our part, eh?
I'll intimate. Don't cry, Prescott. This is Dr. Allen.
Prescott's a healthy-looking baby, all right.
He's as strong as an onion.
An onion? You mean an ox, don't you?
No, his father's a vegetarian. He has to be as strong as a vegetable.
I see. Does Prescott look like his father?
No, Mr. Din has a mustache.
I see, and the baby's clean-shaven.
Of course. Only cat's babies have whiskers.
Hey, what's he laughing at?
You shouldn't look at him, Doctor. I can hardly hold in myself.
Hey, he's all freckle, too, isn't he?
Oh, those aren't freckles. There's no screen door at Prescott's house.
I get it. You want me to examine Prescott?
Well, I only brought him in for a social call, but if you're so hungry for business, you can look him over.
Oh, he's laughing again.
Yes, you'll have to turn your back when you examine him.
All right, I'll examine him sideways. I'll only look half as funny.
I hope he can hold in.
Come on now, Prescott. Put out your tongue.
Oh, he's too much of a gentleman to do that.
Well, I can't examine him unless I can see his tongue.
Well, he won't put it out unless he's mad at you.
I see. I'll have to antagonize him.
Yes, he resents things quickly.
No sarcasm, Prescott. I'll see if I can scare him.
Boo!
Oh, isn't that cute? He booed you back.
Come, come, Prescott. Stop this pure old fiddle-faddle and open your mouth.
Open your mouth, Prescott.
Oh, he's all right. I see he has one tooth, too.
Yes, it's the elk in him.
Will Prescott bite?
Will he bite? Ask him a riddle. He'll bite at anything.
Dr. Allen speaking. Yes, Mr. Tubb. Your aunt's operation was a great success. I replaced the piece she bit out of her tongue. Yes, I grafted the end of a truck driver's tongue in its place. Well, she's fully recovered, but the language she's been using around here is terrible. Is Prescott still awake?
Yes, but I think he wants to go to sleep.
Shall I tell him a bedtime story?
Yes, it isn't his bedtime, but he always gets a kick out of a story.
I'll tell him about Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, he's heard that one. Tell him something up to date.
How about the traveling salesman?
Oh, boy, was it Mama's daughter?
You better take Prescott home before he tells me a story.
Yes, we better go.
Goodbye, Portland.
Goodbye, Dr. Allen.
So long, Prescott.
Peek-a-boo.
Hello, this is Dr. Allen. Yes, Mrs. Fred, your son swallowed a quarter? Well, I wouldn't bother with it if I were you. If I come over, it'll cost you $2 more. Even if you get your quarter back, you'll still be out $1.75. Okay.
That
that noise at the door, Miss Pell?
Well, I just looked out and the hospital chef is waving a carving knife at that man you put on a diet.
Oh, that's Atwell. The chef's probably using the knife to get a word in edgewise.
I'll send them in.
Yes, do.
Come in here. You're a crook. I'll cut your nose off.
You won't mutt cut my clothes off. And don't you call me a cook. I'm a man of honor. My word is as good as my blonde. My boot is as warm as my blonde is...
Here. Put that knife down, Chef. And you, you're bellowing like a bull.
Bullying like a bell, my grandbrother, I'm Roy Ratwell, Roy Flat Atwell, and I...
Dr. Allen, this man's been stealing food from my kitchen. He's a glutton.
Who's a glutton? Feeling, stealing food from his kitchen. Eat, mink, and be dreary. eat, drink, and be beer. For a stitch in time, a stitch in time is better than an apple a day.
You know, Atwell, I put you on a very strict diet.
Oh, miss, I mean, yes, I'm keeping my eye on my diet, Dr. Dow.
He's been robbing my pantry behind my back.
Bobbing his panty behind his back. I wouldn't shake the tea. I wouldn't take the cheese out of a louse trap. He's talking through his hat.
According to your diet, Atwell, you should have nothing in the morning but stewed prune juice, buttered toast, and weak tea.
Yes, I know. Stewed prune juice, weak toast, and fluttered muttered tea. Oh, boy, that's my meat.
Every morning, somebody's been stealing 6 poached eggs, waffles and honey, and a pint of buttermilk.
Why, I couldn't eat 6 poached eggs, waffles and honey, money, and a bite of mutter bill. Why, I'd be as flat as a prig.
This afternoon, I caught him with his head in my ice box.
It's an eye. It's a lie. He caught me with his bed in my ice box. Nice ice box. Why, believe it or not, I was looking for a streetcar. That's good. That's a dim jandy. He who laughs best, I mean last, is a horse of another stable. I mean he who... Let it go.
True enough, but we were discussing your eat and grow thin diet.
Oh, yes, eating my disgusting diet and throw gin diet.
Can't eat fat meats.
No flat feet and no heavy arches, starches. Just a slice of cold roast ram, yam, and a mup of coffee. Good to the last flop. I mean wop. So let's have a mother's cough for cuppy,
I tell you this dog is...
I'm afraid, Chef, that you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yes, you're harking up the gong bee. Every dog has his flea. I mean,
According to your chart, Atwell, you should weigh 140 pounds.
Yes, sir, 140 pounds in my shocking feet, and 150 in my union suit.
If you've been stealing the chef's food, you'll weigh more.
Put them on a scale.
Well, you can't scoot me on the pails, no.
Get on that weighing machine.
Well, no, you can't weigh me. I'm as flight as a leather. I'm as light as a leather. Let it go.
Get on the scale.
Stand still. Ye gods, 195.
Wow, it must have been something I ate.
He's 55 pounds overweight. It's my food. I'll take it off him with my knife.
No, slop. I mean, stop. Don't touch me. I bruise too easily. Yelp. I mean, help.
Back here,
help.
Now,
chase him,
back
Chef. Get him, Chef.
Help. Don't hurt him. I mean, he who.
Now Roy Atwell was sick as well. He was taken to Allen's hospital. And there he met a swell nurse gal. And right away, Roy got gay. He forgot about his ills. Made love when she brought him pills. Every night when she would go off duty, Roy would holler out,
"Come here, my cutie.
Good night, nurse. Tell the doctor I'm no better. Good night, nurse. Write my folks a nice long letter. Say I need a rest and you fear I had better stay here a year. Feel my pulse, hold my hand a little longer. How's my heart? Don't you think it's getting stronger? Call me in the morning or I'll get worse. Kiss your little patient. Good night, nurse. Good night, nurse. Tell Dr. Allen I know better. Good night, nurse. Write my folks a nice long letter. Say I need a...
Oh, yes, they've come over to study the Allen Pay-As-You-Heal system. 10 easy payments and the appendix is yours.
Here they come now.
I'm all
Welcome, my foreign colleagues. I am indeed flattered. Who are you?
I am Professor Pierre Pugh at the conservatory at Cornfed Bunyan at Paris, France. Voila.
Yes, and I am Professor Rudolf Rondorup of the Austrian Veterinarians of Foreign War.
And I am Dr. Gregor Ichinov from the College of Birds and Flowers at Nizhny Novgorod.
Sit down, gentlemen. Tell me, are the doctors in Europe affected by the Depression?
In France, it is impossible.
Yeah, in Austria, it's terrible.
In Soviet Russia, it is nothing.
At the rate of exchange, though, you foreign doctors are lucky, getting your pictures in all of our papers and magazines.
Oh, sure. Did you see our latest photograph? I'm endorsing a lollipop with bath salts in it.
I am endorsing a perfume with sex appeal in it.
And I am endorsing a herring with onions in it.
Hello. Yes? An accident? Where? I'll be right over in the ambulance. Okay.
Well, an accident?
Yes, a man threw a brick through a department store window. Hit some woman. I've got to go.
Oh, we will all go.
Sure, yeah,
fine, fine. Fortunately, my ambulance has a rumble seat. You can all get in it. Hurry now, it's outside. Step right in, gentlemen. Step on it, driver. Main Street, corner of Broadway.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, not so fast. Is the fire?
Can we stop on the way? I have some good telephone number.
But American is always in big hurry. Duty calls and poof, he's there before it starts.
Gentlemen, this is a matter of life and death. Hurry, driver. Right around the corner. This is the place, driver.
Oh, look, here's the ambulance.
Follow me, gentlemen. One side, everybody. Stand back. Which way, officer?
Right over here, doctor. I think the woman's hurt bad. Some bump through a brick through the store window.
Keep the crowd back. Hand me my stethoscope, Professor Pugh.
Yeah, but she is so beautiful.
Yes, looks like a showgirl. I can't even hear her heart action at all.
Say, let me listen. I got a good ear for those things.
Ah, then you should hear Rimsky-Korsakov's Lady Bun, conducted by Sergei Kuzovitsky. Very lovely.
She's in bad shape, all right. Compound fracture of the cuticle, dislocated tibia, and she needs a manicure. We better carry her to the ambulance.
I will take the hat.
I will take the feet.
I will take the rest. Voila.
Lift her carefully now. Good heavens, look. Her arm fell off. She's coming apart.
Here, what's all of this? What's going on here?
Stand back, madam.
I will not. This is my store. What are you doing?
We're taking this injured woman to my hospital. Do you know her?
Know her? Why, you're crazy. That's not a woman. It's a wax dummy from the window.
Oh, good joke.
Good joke. Nothing. You communist.
This is no time to see red, madam.
And you. You look like the bum who broke the window. Help, police.
What's
please,
the trouble,
help,
lady? What's going on? What is...
Officer, these foreigners broke my window and tried to steal my dummy.
She's demented.
Shut up, you. Are you the dummy?
I want them arrested.
Mon Dieu, oui.
He can do
nothing. How did you get here?
We came in an ambulance.
When I get through with my nightstick, you'll go back the same way. You're first, Dutchie.
Him and he killed me.
And you, Frenchie.
Oh, je suis fatigué. Oh, bonsoir.
And this is for you, Trotsky.
Oh! Fucking Moscow. Very lovely.
No discrimination, officer. I have my right.
And here's yours, loudmouth.
Oh, where's Elma?
Mr. Allen's Will-o'-the-Wisp advice on etiquette.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Well, our etiquette department is going like a snail in flight. And a postcard tonight comes from Mr. Joseph Kelly at the Boston City Hospital, Boston, Massachusetts. Mr. Kelly says, quote, I'm having trouble convalescing here. Every day, strange people come into my room, sit on my bed, and eat fruit. Since the weather is colder, several parties giving indoor picnics in my room have kept me up until all hours with their singing and folk dancing around my bed. Where can a fellow convalesce in peace? Unquote. I am glad that you have brought up this question, Mr. Kelly. The reason this country is overrun with wandering fruit eaters is because there are never any chairs in fruit stores. People buying fruit have no place to sit down. That is why people with bags of apples and bananas wander into hospital rooms eating their fruit, throwing the skins around on the floor, and leaving without even asking the patient how he is getting along. In Baltimore recently, a fruit fanatic walked into a hospital room with a can of peaches and spoke caustically, mind you, to a strange convalescent, simply because the patient didn't happen to have a can opener in bed with him. If you are annoyed too much, the best thing to do is to have your doctor move you to a fruit store. People will come in, buy their fruit, and rush to your hospital room, which will be empty. If you, too, are being tortured through concealing a problem, ladies and gentlemen, why not send me your secret grief on a postcard, care of this station? And I shall rest and answer from my innermost self, even as I tuck it myself in an effort to help Mr. Kelly tonight. This is Fred Allen saying good, spell G-O-O-D, night, spell N-I-G-H-T. And don't forget, the well-dressed salad is wearing Hellman's mayonnaise.